I've never done that order of worship before, to go straight from joys and concerns to sermon. And by the way, I have to tell you, because I have the microphone, which means I have all control, but my Maddie is playing in her very last soccer game with her travel team that I've been helping to coach right at this very moment down in Mission Viejo, and I got the text after first quarter that they were already down 2-0, and then I got the text at halftime that they were still down 2-0, and as I went back to my seat to pick up my sermon, I happened to make the screen on my phone light up and learned that one of the players on Maddie's team scored, so we're only down 2-0. Come on, CT United. I've never been a soccer player. I didn't really play soccer. I've never been into it. And the last couple of years getting into it with Maddie has really been a wonderful experience that I'm thankful for. But it's not about soccer, it's about Pentecost. So will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. By the way, I have to work on trying to have as much energy and enthusiasm for things that I can this morning, because I'm really having trouble justifying that this is my second to last Sunday and my last communion with you all, and it is causing quite the grieving in my heart. And so I can either be up here turning into a wreck, or I could try to be the most enthusiastic person in the world, and so I'm going to choose most enthusiastic. Does that work for you all? All right. Pentecost. So, Pentecost has to do with power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I was thinking, what powers us as a society? And obviously the first thing I had to think of was electricity, right? Boy, how much we depend on electricity, and our bill at the end of the month will tell us, huh? I mean, so much of what we own and depend on has to be plugged in, either plugged into work or plugged into charge. I'm really grieving this morning because I left my watch on the charger this morning, and I feel quite naked and alone without it, realizing that I've come to depend heavily upon it. But the first thing is that we can plug things in, right? TVs, computer, blow dryers, you name it, we can plug it in. So I was thinking, okay, we've got the power of electricity and plugging in, but then we've got devices that are powered by batteries, right? And you don't realize how important batteries are until they run out. My favorite being, early on in living in the parsonage, all of a sudden I was getting the sound of a smoke detector telling me the batteries were dying, right? It is absolutely the most awful sound you would ever hear, right? It took me 2 weeks to find this smoke detector that was buried in a closet, okay? It wasn't even attached to a ceiling anywhere. It was in like this utility closet that where the heater is that I didn't use for anything at that point. But you know, you gotta walk around the house and like listen for the beep, and then you gotta wait until the beep's gonna be again, and it's not a certain set period of time. Whew. Batteries, y'all. Can't live without them. But then, well, we also can't forget we need gas for our cars, right? Unless you got an all-electric vehicle. How many people hurt every time they go to the gas station and have to pump gas? Absolutely. So then I was thinking, okay, we've got all these things that are electricity and power and gas, especially those things that we have to pay for. But then I got nostalgic. And I was thinking, you know, there's some things that we're losing the art of today that we would crank to get power, right? The absolute best, is anybody else thinking about it? All around the mulberry bush, yeah? Crank, 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 and the anxiety and the blood pressure goes up, and crank, 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 and then what happens? Everybody together, pop, and you jump. Are kids, does anybody still have a jack-in-the-box? I mean, do kids get these anymore? Ugh. But there's things that you crank, like a jack-in-the-box and the power of scaring you no matter how many times you've cranked it open. I've seen crank flashlights, right? Crank radios, that power in the crank that allows us to be off electricity and have something. Or winding them. Do you have a clock that winds? My grandfather on my dad's side used to make clocks. That was one of his things, and getting to wind that clock and hear the tick, tick, tick. Then there's some things that they're powered by putting money in, right? Go to the arcade, put the coins in for the little ride outside the grocery store. Got a laugh over here. Some things, it's a matter of putting money in them. And then my favorite, one of the ultimate powers that is the challenge, that once you power it, there's no unpowering it, right? And that is the power of putting sugar and or caffeine into a child. Last week, Wendolyn and Andrew were sharing that last Saturday was Woody's first birthday party, and so Woody got to eat cake, and they said he refused to sleep after that. They learned their lesson, no sugar for Woody. There's a lot of different ways that we and our life and our world are powered. And here, Pentecost, like I said, is the Sunday where we celebrate the power of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost, when all the believers, as it said, were gathered together in one place. They were celebrating the beginning of the harvest. Two harvests a year, one in the fall and one near the end of spring. And here they were giving praise and glory to God and lifting it up in this celebration. And in the midst of this celebrating, unbeknownst to the believers, the Holy Spirit shows up. Now, the Holy Spirit, we get bits and pieces of God's Spirit throughout the Old Testament and with Jesus, the Holy Spirit sending him out into the desert to starve and dehydrate for 40 days, right? Anybody want that power of the Holy Spirit? No takers? Oh, okay. I thought maybe. But here, the power of the Holy Spirit isn't just in select people or for a select moment or a select reason. But here the Holy Spirit comes, like the rush of a violent wind, like an earthquake like none other. Woohoo, Californians perk up at that one. And like flames atop their heads. Like I said in my prayer, this is not a Holy Spirit that's being subtle in any way, shape, or form. I mean, here's the Holy Spirit coming in such a way that people outside the building are saying, "What in the world is going on inside there? It's 9 o'clock in the morning, but these folks must be drunk." That's the only thing they could think. That's the only rationale they could have for what was going on inside. But what was actually going on inside was the Holy Spirit showing up. And not just in these acts that you could hear and see that we relate to natural occurrences, but here talking about all of the believers speaking in their own languages. Rayon, are you so glad I didn't make you say all those Parthenons and Medians and blah, 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 blah. They're from all over, different regions, different areas, different languages, and everybody starts to speak up. And in the power of the Holy Spirit in this moment, though everybody's speaking different languages, everyone can understand one another. Good grief, what a power right there. The Holy Spirit connecting the believers together. The Holy Spirit empowering the believers. The Holy Spirit that we still celebrate today, in particular in baptism, like last week, as we invited the Holy Spirit to be a part of Woody and celebrated our newest member of the community of God. And the Holy Spirit that imparts our communion meal that we get ready for. the sacred, the Holy Spirit. But let's look around this story for a moment, because it's not just about what happens on Pentecost, but sometimes it's putting it into perspective of where it is in the story. I want to realize this is Acts 2, and if we look at Acts 1, a whole lot happens there. This is where Jesus says his goodbyes and ascends up to heaven, and the disciples are all kind of left with like a, okay, what now, right? Anybody else feeling that way? Like maybe your leader is disappearing and you're saying, what now? They're saying, what now? Well, they couldn't sit there wondering for long because there was work to do. One of the things that they needed to do is they had just recently lost one of the 12, Judas, correct? And they needed to fill that spot. They had to be complete in their numbers with the work and the job that they still had to do. Without Jesus, without that leader, without that teacher, without that rabbi, they couldn't just stop and disband and say, we're done. But they had to keep going. And so they nominate two, and they draw lots, and Matthias is another pastor's son. Matthias is selected to fill that spot that Judas had. There's a remembrance in this, that there's much work to be done. And when a spot is vacated, that we need somebody to step up and fill it in. Sometimes it means when the pastor comes and says, hey, can you do 6 months on SPRC and help lead? It's saying, yes, I will. Sometimes it's figuring out where your gifts are and figuring out how you can use them to serve the church and to serve God, to not just sit back and let somebody else do it, but to be able to step in. We also have where the disciples here at the beginning of Acts, as the movement's building and growing, and they realize, wait a second, everybody's teaching and preaching and healing and do all these things, but the widows are being neglected. Somebody's got to serve them and feed them. And what do we have but the first nominations, right? And they nominate people, and they vote on them, and they send them out to go and serve. Because again, there's much work to be done, and God is calling all believers to take their part. Then we have Pentecost. And here at Pentecost, what happens? But one of the things in the power of the Spirit is what the Holy Spirit does to Peter. I've never been shy to say Peter is one of my favorites in the Bible. Why? Because he's immature. Why? Because he's somebody that speaks before he thinks. He's somebody that continues to stumble, and yet Jesus never gave up on him. He's stumbling and failing in so many of our human definitions. And Jesus looks at him and says, just wait, someday you'll be the rock that my church is built on. Anybody that knew Peter at the time would probably laugh at that. But here at Pentecost, when the people outside are saying they must be drunk, one option is just to stay hiding inside, we do our thing and we'll just ignore them. Or the other is somebody's got to step up and be the leader. And what does Peter do? He doesn't wait for a nomination. He doesn't wait for them to draw lots. Peter stands up and with the power of the Holy Spirit speaks with utter conviction and witness. And he stands up to the crowd and he says, we're here to testify of who Christ was and what Christ did. The Christ that you crucified. And he spoke with such conviction that it cuts right to their hearts. And they say, what can we do, Peter? And Peter says, repent of your sins, be baptized, become one of us. And it says that day, with what Peter stood up and did, that about 3,000 people were baptized. Talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter was an underdog. I don't know about you, but I love an underdog. One that people don't predict or think of. I remember going back to being in like elementary school, and I got to stay with my grandparents while my parents were on vacation. And my grandparents decided to take my brother and I to the racetrack, Los Alamitos, right? Now, the disappointment was no races were actually happening at that racetrack that day, so we didn't get to see any horses, but they had on the TVs races that were happening somewhere else, probably at Santa Anita. And so my grandpa said, all right, I'm gonna give you each certain amount of money, and you get to pick a horse to bet on. Now, you got a couple options, right? Especially when you're a kid and you know nothing about these horses and nothing about horse racing. You can pick the one that has the best odds and say, everybody says that one's gonna win, I'm gonna bet on that one. Or you can be like me that says, that one says it's got a 1 in 125 chance. Guess which one I bet on? The underdog. Why? Because underdogs can surprise you. Underdogs that nobody else is looking at can suddenly come from the back of the pack and make it all the way to the front. Least likely to winning, like Peter. Least likely to be acting like a leader and becomes the head of the church that we all worship in today, 2,000 years later. And Peter preaches, and all these believers are baptized. And then what do they do next? At the end of chapter 2, it tells us, after Pentecost, in simplest words, they did life together. They ate, they fellowshipped, they listened to the teaching of the apostles, and they broke bread together. It says they sold what they had and put it all together because they believed so much in who they were and what they were called to be and the power of the Holy Spirit that they went all in. And the world was radically changed from that moment on. But remember, one of the aspects of this is that they, though they were different and didn't even speak the same language, that they understood one another. So here today and now, how is it that we are allowing the Holy Spirit within us to help us to understand one another? To help us to have the compassion and the patience and the ability to seek to know the person that is different from us. To seek, to understand the situation they are in and what they are going through. Because when we do that, it takes this big, huge world and shrinks it down. Understanding one another helps us to be united, helps us to be a team, helps us to be like that community that was all in. Here we sit thinking about that with Pentecost as we are at the beginning of Pride Month trying to understand what our LGBTQI plus brothers and sisters are going through. As we continue to see violence and prejudice against Asians, as we continue to see racism be rampant in our country. As we continue to see school shootings and mass shootings from people who have deep despair and issues. As we look at this and so much more, we realize that there are those who seek to keep us separated, those who try to fuel the divides, because a divided people will never stand up against you. Those who seek to control how much power and influence that we have. But then there are those that bring people together, those that build bridges, those who seek to find commonality between people, those who celebrate diversity as beautiful and not something to be scared of. How are we, as the believers today, filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit, how are we doing life together? How are we being all in? How are we working to come together to tackle the problems of the world that surround us? And even more so, are doing damage to our brothers and sisters in Christ? And how are we working to care for one another, following that simple rule of love your neighbor as yourself? My friends, on this Pentecost Sunday, will you pray with me as we prepare our hearts and minds for our communion this morning? Let us share in this prayer of response. Holy Spirit, with astonishment, we see that you renew our strength constantly. Allow us not to forget your presence, even in adversity. And in our turn, we will renew our gratefulness and we will sing for your love. Amen. And now with that, I invite our ushers and our singers forward as we turn our hearts to God in the giving of our tithes and offerings this morning.